Good morning, everybody. This is the Sunday morning worship service of the South Carolina Fisherman Ministry.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's kind of interesting thing. I was just joking around with Paul last night. There was a football game that we watched a while ago, and you know, with this team, everything was given to them that they could win this game, but they decided, let me put it this way, they didn't grab the win, and they had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to win, but they did not win. And it was funny because I was telling Paul, I'm like, here's this team right here right now. It's like, here he goes. Here's a win.
No, thank you.
Here, we got you set up where you absolutely have this in the sock. This victory is yours. Here, have it.
No, thank you. We can't win like this.
I'm thinking, take the win and run with it. I mean, that's what the Lord has done for us. He has won the war. He is victorious. And He's given us everything we need to be victorious in Him. But what do we do with it? Do we do the same thing? You know, what does Scripture say? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What is also the Scripture says? It also says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What does it say in Colossians? Blotting out all our trespasses. He's given us everything we need. It's right there for our taking. But it's up to us to grab that and receive it and walk in it. And we do that by faith. Believing His Word. And that's something that we do. And it comes down to a simple choice. And praise God, we got that choice. The Lord freed us from this old dead man that we can make that choice. But it's up to us to receive it and walk in it. And it's an interesting thing when you take that which the Lord has given you and you go and walk in that. It's abundantly above we can ask or think. It says, Scripture says He's beautiful for situation. And we've seen that time and time and time again, where the situation looks impossible. The situation looks like it's giants that we're facing, and there's no way that this can turn out for good. But then we put our trust and we put our faith in Him. Or He just reveals unto us how good He is and how faithful He is. And when we watch and we're amazed. And He takes that situation and He flips it upside down on its head. Takes our worst mistakes and He redeems them. It's an awesome thing. And we should not doubt. But yet we get stuck in that carnal mind and that carnal thinking that keeps us from receiving some of these things. I mean, we have scripture in the Old Testament of what has happened, where the children of Israel shouted against Jericho. They didn't raise a sword. They shouted against them. The walls come tumbling down. You have David and Goliath. David was, I couldn't imagine, but a teenager at the time. Yeah, Goliath was huge. But David had a faith in the Lord. I really like that story. It's an interesting thing. I probably ought to turn and read it. Because when David said, hey, I'll go fight against Goliath. Saul goes, okay, well, put on my armor, take my sword. David's like, I can't wear this armor. It's too heavy. I can't pick up that sword. It's too big. Just give me my sling. And he goes and he takes that sling and he whips it around and it countersinks in Goliath's head, falls dead. And then David grabs Goliath's sword and cuts off his head. Now that sword was much bigger than Saul's sword. But there was something that happened there. David did not go and fight Goliath in his strength. He did not go fight Goliath in his strength. He fought Goliath with the Lord's strength. And you can see that because if he wasn't able to wear that armor, and he wasn't strong enough to bear that sword. But then when he takes Goliath's sword and picks it up, it goes to show that he's operating in something else, and it's not himself. And see, that's the key right there. A lot of times we go into this battle, or we go and face these giants and we go and we try to do it with our own strength, with our own intellect, with our own mind. And it doesn't work that way. The other thing that David had going for him was David was there to what? He stood up for the Lord to glorify Him, not himself. He was not about glorifying himself at all. It was about glorifying the Lord. Which takes me to James. Let's go to James chapter 4 real quick. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. I think they would have been a lot of trouble if it was all that David went up there to go do when he went to go up against the Philistines and fight Goliath, that it was all for him. If he was doing it out of his own strength and that he wanted to be seen as something. I think that situation would have been a lot different. I don't know if he would have came out of that one in victory. I don't know. Because that didn't happen. And praise God it didn't happen. David went out there to do what the Lord would have him do. And to glorify the Lord. And praise God, he had some training out there in the field. He was a shepherd. And delivered the sheep out of the mouth of a lion. And a bear, I believe, as well. But praise the Lord. When we go out there, are we going out there to do His thing? When we go and walk in our everyday life, are we about glorifying Him? Preaching the gospel? Or do we go about doing our own thing? Because if we're about doing our own thing, and just to please ourselves, where's the Lord in that? Why would He meet you there? And if He did meet you there, wouldn't do you any good. He'd be just setting you up down a road to hell, but that's not our God. He's a loving Father. And we have fathers in the flesh that love us, but He is perfect. He is perfect. And He didn't come down here to please your flesh or to save your flesh. No, He came down here to save your soul. And He wants to work a wonder. We sing that song, He is here, He is here. And He's walking among us. He wants to work a wonder. He wants to show up. He wants Himself to make Himself known. We have time and time after again in the Old Testament where He wants to show up and have a relationship with His people. He took the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, destroyed the enemy, gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't want to set up a kingship. That's what the people wanted. Be their God and for them to be His people. He wanted to establish a relationship with them. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it. And I look and now it's our opportunity for us to have a relationship with our loving God. And go forward in His victory. Watching Him work and wonder in our lives. And not in our lives only, but in others' lives. That's what our testimonies are for. To share with others that they may know Him and how good and wonderful and awesome our God is. So that they can have Him as God too and a Father and have a relationship with Him as well. But if we're too busy doing our own thing, where is the Lord in it? He gives us a commandment to love God, love one another. But if we're all about our own thing, where is loving God in that? And where is loving one another? It's not. And it's an interesting thing because his hand's out. His hand's out. We were dead. And when we were accepted, we were grafted back into his life. And all those things that were set against us are washed away. And then he doesn't leave us comfortless. No, he gives us his spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. And he had defeated that old man so that we can walk in him. But he can't make you do it. That's something we need to decide for ourselves if that's what we want. And if that's what we want, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. I mean, we can deceive ourselves and make all kinds of excuses while we're not. But the truth is, a man wants to do what a man wants to do. A woman wants to do what a woman wants to do. Strictly up to us. But he's right there. What do you read? I remember in Bible study, Tuesday night's Bible study. The Lord is at hand. He is just as available to you and close to you as your hand is. Says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Are we going to believe that? Are we going to believe that report? Or are we going to believe what our carnal, what our own intellect is telling us? That's why the first generation didn't enter into the promised land. Would because they believed the natural report. They believed with their carnal mind what they were seeing. All they saw was the giants. All they saw that they would just take them over and destroy them. That's all they saw. That's what they believed. They didn't believe in the promise of God. Except Joshua and Caleb. And that's why they went to the promised land. Let's not fall after the same example of unbelief. But let's go walk in victory in the example of belief in Him and founded on His promises, His Word, and what He has done and what He is able to perform as Joshua and Caleb. Amen.
You know, it's a funny thing. We're talking about, Philip and I are talking about football. We get as much pleasure out of seeing a team we don't like lose as we ever get out of seeing a team we do like win. Go figure. Yeah, it really is. It's terrible. It's a terrible way to be. You know, I'm saying, you really don't like football in that much. You like seeing the teams you don't like lose. That's really all you do. Let's go to Psalms. Well, you ain't got to go there, I suppose, because it's a short one. But it's a good one. And we quote the first line of this quite frequently when we're talking about our voices. And especially as related to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The first thing that hits me, and it's already hit me, is what attitude do we bring to the Lord? You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come up here and talk about how good He is and to preach the gospel, a message of life and provision and of love. And the record, when you see all the things that the Lord has done, if you're not just flooded over with gladness, you're doing it wrong. Think of what it's saying here. It's telling the reader to come before His presence with singing. When somebody does something for you of great magnitude in the natural, it make you glad? Or you sit there in a constant state of negativity and denial? And that's truly the issue here, is that we have been fed this lie about who God is and what He is like from the time we're that size, pointing to Raylan, because she's kind of small and you could be younger than that. But that's, we don't. And we buy into that, and it kind of feeds our flesh and gets us used to doing things that humor and entertain and please the flesh, and then doing things that are good things to provide us cover, justification, works righteousness. Most of the world is pretty content to believe that I can do what I want as long as I do some of this too. And that is a lie from the pits of hell. And if you're going to have an emotion one way or the other about that lie, you need to hate that lie and come against that lie and be pleased and gladness-filled to have the opportunity and the knowledge with which to come against that. And know that the Spirit of truth will deliver to you not just an emotional sense that you're doing something for the Lord, but a real prophet is coming to that person who's going to be held accountable, and to you and to the kingdom and to the body. That's a thing. You get to partake in that. That's gladness, man. We need, you know, some people I've seen, you know, post these things on the refrigerator or some place where everybody's eyes land. But this is a psalm that is as much a challenge to adjust your attitude as it is an instruction manual of how to worship. And it's a pretty simple one. It's not terribly complicated. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's who rules over all this and is a supernatural God. And his people, and the sheep of his pasture, sheep that are in a pasture that is his, are in his protection and his provision. I want to be there, right? That's a good thing. That's gladness. That's joyful. That's something that's so good, I want to go tell somebody else how good it is. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving. How hard is that? If you're truly filled with gladness, praising the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your goodness is, it just continues to amaze. And if you're not thankful, you need to find something to be thankful for. I've just gone through some of this stuff. And there's a sense in which there is denial, but it isn't denial on him, on his part. He's not denying us anything. We have to deny, put off the deeds of the flesh, put off the lust of the flesh. We have to put on Jesus Christ. But the payoff there is you get to put on Jesus Christ. You can enter into his gates and into his courts. You have access to his presence. He's got what do you call the royal family's house? You know, you got the royal family, the king. You come right into his throne room and converse with him. Meanwhile, he provides, he's, you know, heaving his protection and his provision upon you. Huh? And you get, yeah, that's right. You get to sit down at his dinner table and be partaking of his goodness. For Lord is good. How hard is that to agree with that? But, you know, Philip said something up there and it struck me. Lord only left one instruction. Two objects. One instruction, to love one another and him. One instruction, two objects. We haven't gotten that right yet. Have we? Not as a people. That's the thing. It's so simple. We just have hard times with shiny things, kitchen. If you can't agree that the Lord is good, we're done. We're done here. If you don't believe that the Lord is good, it doesn't matter what your parents or what the world told you when you were growing up, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, what kind of image you had of God the Father that was revealed to you by your father and the world. It is not true unless it is this. He is good. He is good. All the more reason I should be glad. He hasn't brought me into this place in His presence and His provision and His power to kill me. He has brought me here to tell other people about His goodness. And as long as I want to do that, that's going to please Him. That is loving Him and them. You love them enough to tell them the truth. There's no greater truth than He gave His Son for me. I wasn't worth it. He substituted for the death I should have had and would not have worked. Yeah, I would have been penalized, and the penalty was death, and I deserved it. But it would not deliver me. Only He could do that. And not only did He die in my place, He delivered me from my sin into a relationship with Him. And that is great news. That is not religion. By definition, it is relationship. There is no reason why everyone that's hearing my voice can't have that relationship and change their life and their destiny and their end and their present, where they can agree with the psalmist here. Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Why is His mercy everlasting? Because we're always going to need it. Adam needed it. We need it. And those coming up, they're going to need it. He's good. He has not set us up to fail. We have the opportunity to choose Him. That is an agape love of preference. That is what Jesus did for us. He loved us. He loved us enough to die in our place. It was our place to be on that cross. That's how good He is. Even when we were yet sinners, He commended His love to us in that He died for us. And that's good news. And that's His clear and simple gospel. And everybody in here ought to know it by heart now so well they can do it verbatim to anybody they run into. And ought to want to do that. Because it has been manifested over and over and over again. People in this room have experienced the deliverance of the Lord. They've experienced the provision of the Lord. They have experienced the Lord's goodness. I challenge you, don't go home today without getting right with the Lord. Adjusting your attitude. I'm done.